Okay, this is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. And of course, we are wishing all in Scotland well today. A historic vote taking place in Scotland to see if Scotland will be independent from England for the first time in over 300 years. The vote is said to be one of austerity. We covered it yesterday. We will be returning to it tomorrow on our weekly roundtable. By then, we should know the results. As of this morning, the vote was still too close to call, with a no vote in the polls showing a very slight lead. So a lot of people rooting there for the yes vote, particularly people who are impoverished, people of color, and people who are standing for freedom around the world, all eyes on Scotland. But another event will be happening this weekend that will have the eyes of the world on it. On September 21st in New York City, more than 1,000 groups are coordinating the People's Climate March, taking place 2 days before a meeting of governments at the UN on climate. The march is said to be the largest ever in the United States, and protesters are demanding action on climate change from global leaders. As many as 120 heads of state will be attending a special climate meeting called by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon on September 23rd. Is it enough to confront the climate crisis? Grassroots groups don't think so. They have been very frustrated with inaction by governments and the United Nations. And in addition to the huge climate march, there is going to be a convergence also taking place in New York City that will be an alternative to the official UN conference. That is going to be taking place Friday, September 19th and Saturday, September 20th, the People's Climate Convergence. Also, events are happening in cities around the country and others around the world. And in fact, people could also participate online. For people in Southern California, you can go to the KPFK website at kpfk.org for an event that will be taking place on Saturday along Wilshire Boulevard and Vermont. For our listeners in other cities, we suggest that you take a look at your local radio station's website to see where events are in your city. We're going to start out this covering this march with an appeal from the president of the Marshall Islands.
Out here in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, climate change has arrived. In the last year alone, my country has suffered through unprecedented drought in the north and the biggest ever king tides in the south. And we have watched the most devastating typhoons in history leave a trail of death and destruction across the region. Lying just 2 meters above sea level, my atoll nation stands at the front line in the battle against climate change. The beaches of Puig, where I used to fish as a boy, are already underwater, and the fresh water we need to grow our foods gets saltier every day. As scientists have predicted, some of our islands have already completely disappeared, gone forever under the ever-rising waves. For the Marshall Islands and our friends in the Pacific, this is already a full-blown climate emergency. Some tell us that we should begin planning to leave, but how can we? And why should we? These islands are our home. They hold our history, our heritage, and our hopes for the future. Are the world's polluters asking us to keep up our language, our culture, and our national identity? We are not prepared to do that. We will stay and fight. If the water comes, it comes. Brick by brick, I build a seawall behind me with my own hands. The climate crisis is forcing us to take matters into our own hands both at home and on the international stage. The time for talk is over, and the time for action is now.
The time for talk is over. The time for action is now. And someone who has been on the front lines of action on the for climate justice is Ann Peterman. She is the executive director of the Global Justice Ecology Project. She's the coordinator of the Stop GE Trees campaign, the North American focal point for the Global Forest Coalition, and a member of the board of directors of the Will Miller Social Justice Lecture series. She has been involved in movements for forest protection as well as indigenous rights since the early 1990s and the international and national climate justice movement since 2004. She co-founded the Eastern North American Resource Center of the Native Forest Network in 1993, the Stop GE Trees campaign in 2004, and participated in the founding of the Durban Group for Climate Justice in 2004 and Climate Justice Now, in 2007 at the Bali UN Climate Conference. In 2008, the Global Justice Ecology Project spearheaded the founding of the North American Mobilization for Climate Justice. You hear her regularly on our weekly Earth Minute, and we also partner with the Global Justice Ecology Project for our weekly Earth Watch. Ann Peterman, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Margaret.
Okay, Ann, I know you're up to your eyeballs with the conference and the march and the convergence happening this weekend, so we appreciate you taking the time to join us. Now, Ann Peterman, we have talked over the years with some frustration about the lack of action on the part of governments, the lack of action on the part of the United Nations, and you have been working in the trenches for so many years to really work to bring grassroots groups together to make sure that the indigenous voices and other communities most impacted by climate change are heard. And it hasn't been easy. Tell us a bit about that, because there have been some tensions between people like yourself and grassroots groups working on the ground and the larger NGOs and also some of the bigger names in the environmental movement. Ann Peterman.
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, the main problem that we've had at the international level, and we participated in these UN climate conferences for many years, starting in 2004, and what we saw was that they just became corporate trade shows, you know, and more and more blatantly every year, more and more businesses getting involved and sponsoring the programs and having absolute access to every aspect of the negotiations, while civil society groups were largely shut out. You know, indigenous representatives get like 1 minute to speak in the opening plenary, which goes on for like 8 hours, and that kind of thing. So we had a real big grassroots movement going on the inside that was in concert with what was happening on the outside, with all of the many thousands of people who weren't even allowed to get in because of the very stringent process of accreditation that they have. But then we also had the problem of big groups on the inside, like the NRDC, for example, but also Greenpeace.
Tell us what NRDC stands for.
Sorry, the National Resources Defense Council, one of the big green NGOs, who are really pushing for reformist-oriented false solutions, market-based false solutions, like carbon trading, for example, and having to really battle them as well. So not only do we have to worry about the business-oriented, profit-motivated false solutions that are being pushed, we have to worry about these other green, so-called green groups backing them up. And so, yes, we had that as an issue over and over again in the UN, and then we had the UN cracking down on the grassroots participation, excluding people outright, starting with the Copenhagen climate talks in 2009 mainly, and absolutely no tolerance for unpermitted actions of any kind, not even wearing a T-shirt that's unsanctioned, the language of which is unsanctioned. So people were getting thrown out left and right for very little, very small actions. And then if people actually did a more significant protest, like an occupation of a hallway or something, getting banned from the conference altogether, and or like myself, getting banned from the UN climate conferences, all of them. So, yeah. So anyway, I haven't been back since Durban, but there have been a lot of really important things going on the outside. I think more important than what's going on the inside of these UN corporate trade shows is what's happening on the outside.
Right. And so, Ann Peterman, you, I think, proudly wear the badge of being banned from UN climate conferences. We really appreciate the work that you've done over the years. And I remember that happening because we were doing daily coverage here on Sojourner Truth of that conference. So, Ann Peterman, in addition to this march, well, before we get to the convergence in any detail with both the march as well as the convergence, but let's start with the march. You have written an article where you were critical of the fact that there are no specific demands of this march. Tell us what your concern is.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I first heard from one of the organizers that they were organizing this huge march where they were thinking that, 200,000 people were going to come, but one of the things that they were doing to try to get the most people at the table was to have no specific demands. And when they said that, I couldn't quite understand it, so I asked them for more details. And basically what they said was they were using the large tent or the big tent approach, which brings to me the mind of the circus, that they wanted to have the most people possible join. And because they wanted some organizations to be involved that actually had no stance or refused to take a stance against, for example, the tar sands or fracking, that they couldn't even have positions against what I thought were pretty well consensed issues, like fracking in the tar sands. So they ended up with this very vague demand for the UN to take action on climate change. And, being one who's fought a lot of false solutions over the years, I realized, and a lot of people realize, that, climate actions are not all good actions. Geoengineering, large-scale hydroelectric plants, nuclear power, these are all touted as solutions to climate change, but are also very dangerous and destructive, displacing people, destroying the land, things that are absolutely not solutions to climate change.
Yeah, so what about now the impact of the big names? We know groups like the Indigenous Environmental Network, Indigenous people across the U.S. border in Canada being the first to bring the issue of tar sands, the dangers of tar sands to the world. Yet you don't see Indigenous voices at the forefront of that particular movement, even in the Keystone XL pipeline. And Ann Peterman, it sort of reminds me of the movies where you could have characters who are people of color doing good things, but the real hero is Euro, right? The real hero that's focused on are not the people of color. But I wonder the impact now of Naomi Klein's new book. She is a star from the certainly in the left and more. There was an article in Vogue magazine recently. We're trying to be able to interview her on this show, but the impact of her book, This Changes Everything, Capitalism Versus the Climate, as well as her participation in the convergence.
You mean how is that going to...
Yeah, how will that impact? Do you think that means will broaden and widen the movement?
Well, certainly the critiques of the march have led to more calls, not just by myself, but like people like Chris Hedges and even Naomi Klein, for more direct actions. So instead of just having these symbolic, police-permitted marches that, could very well leave people feeling disempowered if they go and they spend all this energy and then go home and nothing happened, to actually be involved in I recently proposed series of actions called Flood Wall Street, which is going to be happening on Monday. And I know that Naomi Klein is scheduled to speak just before that. So hopefully, her high profile is going to attract more people to start getting involved in actual protests that are not permitted, that are going directly to the source. This particular action is going to be going to the New York Stock Exchange to directly confront the people who are driving climate change, so not just the symbolic political leaders who are taking their marching orders from the corporations, but the actual corporations themselves and their representatives in the stock market.
Right. So what about the convergence? What is your hope for the People's Climate Convergence, which is the alternative to the UN, official UN summit?
There are a lot of groups from every corner of activism who are coming together at this climate convergence under the big umbrella of climate change. So I think the big positive, the thing that looks most positive about that is the fact that people are starting to understand that whatever their issue is, whether it's racism, classism, or a specific issue like water pollution, that all of these things are connected to climate change and that we need to start working together in a bigger coalition, but not just a coalition that's just blindly saying, let's do some action on climate change, but one that says we need to start targeting the real root causes of climate change, which is capitalism, which is corporate domination. And these are the root causes that are impacting all of our different issues and is the thing that links us together. And so we can all take action on climate change that's real, that's getting to the root of the issues, and that will hopefully be enough action in time to make a real difference.
Now, Ann Peterman, you attended a conference that was organized, I think you attended, by the Venezuelan government. And I know that you, it's interesting to see the title of Naomi Klein's book of Capitalism versus the Climate, because you and others have been talking for so long about system change, not climate change. So just briefly sum up for us what came out of that conference that was held in Venezuela. And in the few minutes we have left, it would be great if you could tell us you're going to be speaking. You're one of the plenary speakers on Friday evening in New York City opening the conference. If you could share a little bit of your message with us, Ann Peterman.
Sure. Well, Venezuela was interesting. The Venezuelan government actually convened people representing social movements and organizations working on climate justice from around the world to get together and start talking about what we really want. And they broke it into a bunch of different sessions that had different focuses. So people went to the sessions and talked about what we really want. And it's still a work in progress, the different points that are coming out of this. One of their thoughts, though, was to bring, the Venezuelan government wanted to bring what came out of Venezuela, create a few talking points to that, from that, and bring it to this Ban Ki-moon climate summit. So that's one of the things that's going on there. But the real idea is to bring a much broader platform for climate justice to Lima and then beyond that to Paris, so that a climate justice demands are at least represented in these spaces, even though I pretty much guarantee they'll be ignored, as has been the trend over time. As for the plenary session on Friday, I was very honored to be invited to be a part of that with activists like Oscar Alavara, who led the fight against water privatization in Bolivia, and other folks. And I'm going to be really talking about the corporate capture of the United Nations and the real solutions that are out there and the people that are on the front lines pushing for those real solutions. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, the message that I'll be putting out there in my 10 minutes.
Right. And Ann Peterman, you are so right that grassroots groups everywhere are mobilizing for it. I know the group that I am active with, Women of Color in the Global Women's Strike and the Global Women's Strike Payday Men's Network, they're going to be sending a delegation from Philadelphia. But one of the things that we are going to say on our in our statement, we're not speaking, but in the statement, is that the free market is really pushing us to destruction, and that the market considers it is not practical to tackle global warming. And we're demanding resources for caring, and we think that redirects the economy away from the market and wars, because we know that the militarization and wars are also some of the biggest polluters, and towards the caring of people for people and the planet. So just some final thoughts on the whole thrust of system change. I mean, is it possible to really save the planet with the market as it is now?
Well, it's not only possible, it's essential, right? Mm-hmm. market is not going to solve this problem for us. If we want to solve this problem, if we want to have a future on this planet for the human race, we have to change the system. There's just no other alternative. And having specific demands that point to that, and as Naomi's done in her book, I think is really important. The broad, you know, demandless march is going to have businesses like Goldman Sachs marching in it because, you know, they're going to make a lot of money off of climate change. And so climate action is just fine with them as long as it's the what they want. So, yeah, we really have to change the system, not just say we're going to do some things for the climate.
Right. Well, Anne Peterman, we look forward to a report of what happened this coming weekend. Very exciting. And again, for our listeners in Southern California, if you go to kpfk.org, you'll get information about the event happening this Saturday on Wilshire Avenue. I think people are gathering along Wilshire Boulevard, somewhere along Vermont. That information is on the website. WBAI in New York City will be carrying the march live. Hopefully, we'll be carrying some of the convergence as well, the alternative convergence. And so we will be bringing you more from these events next week. Anne Peterman, thank you so very much for joining us.